Hi, John Papa and Dan Wallin, and we're going to talk to you about the last exercise in Lab 2, which is about taking your ASP.NET jQuery application, and we've already worked in what the projects are and the solution, we worked in what the UI is going to be. Now we have to tie together the services that Dan created earlier for his ASP.NET application to Silverlight. So we'll talk about how to do that through this exercise.
All right. So just like you would do with a standard ASP.NET app, you need a proxy object in order to call the WCF service. Now, if you're doing jQuery, you can just call it directly with some of the jQuery methods, such as getJSON, AJAX, and others.
Right.
But Silverlight can call any standards-compliant web service, so we'll kind of demo that here. So here's the project we were just in, and we had created this fairly simple user interface.
Mm-hmm.
And now what we're going to do is, if you recall earlier from video one, first part of the lab, we went in and kind of showed the web service. So let's make sure that's up and running. Looks like it is. So what I want to do now is in my Silverlight project, which is right here, we want to go ahead and right click and we're going to add in a service reference. So we'll go ahead and click on Add Service Reference. We'll hit Discover, and then ultimately, we're going to assign a new namespace. Now, I usually like to drill down, make sure it's all working good, and look at the API. So there's our interface. Here's some of the different operations we can call on that particular service. All right, so we're going to come in, and we're going to call this customer service dot proxies.
Okay.
Let me copy that guy. And then, just like with jQuery, everything is asynchronous. In fact, to see that, if I click on Advanced, you'll notice the Generate Async Operations is checked.
Right. It's checked and it's grayed out, so that's your only option.
Exactly. The only other thing to point out here is that Observable Collection is returned, which means if your service returns a list, it actually converts it to an observable collection of,
right,
say, Customer, in our case. So that's kind of what we have going there. All right. So we have customerService.proxies. Go ahead and make sure that's good. We'll hit OK. And this will now go out to the service. It's going to generate all the proxy code, add in the appropriate references, plus do one really key thing for our service here. So if we open up servicereferences.clientconfig, you'll notice that right now we have just a basic binding, all right, and the binding here is basic. Now, the reason for that is because that's what the server specified. And if you recall, this was jQuery,
right,
calling it. So we are reusing the existing service. Now, the reason I kind of want to bring that up is out of the box, you can create a Silverlight-enabled WCF service, which is a little bit different. Really what it does is adds in one extra piece to the HTTP, which is a binary message encoding.
Right, so instead of doing basic HTTP, which is just going to be your clear text, you could actually shrink that down theoretically and compress it using the binary encoding.
Exactly. So you'll actually get even better performance if you do that. And the challenge with this is we want to make this particular service, though, service, you know, not only a jQuery ASP.NET web app, but also a Windows Forms and Silverlight. And so we're going to go ahead and leave it, you know, as a basic HTTP.
Right.
But for those that are getting into Silverlight and kind of how it works, when you right-click and add a new item into your website projects, your server side, Silverlight enabled service is an option.
Yeah, it's like a WCF Silverlight enabled web service. Some big long name like that.
Some big long,
yes,
name that shows up, but it'll look a little bit different than this, but we're going for reuse here,
okay,
of our services. Okay, so we have our user interface. We've already, in the previous exercise, added some code for the buttons and things. We,
right,
now have our proxy to call it. We know that it's going to call it over basic HTTP. So now we're ready to actually go in. So I'm going to right-click and go into View Code. And we ultimately, when this guy gets called, which is our main page XAML code behind file,
mm-hmm,
we want to bind customers from that service into our combo box. Well, you know, what are we going to bind? If we run up just really quick and look at the entity model, you'll see that we have first name, middle name, last name, but, you know, there is no full name on there.
Right.
So we certainly could just bind last name, and that would work. But what if we do want to show first and last? I could go into the service, and we could certainly add a new property into this. But that data is already in first and last name. So I think it's generally best practice that if that's not a business rule on the server side, it's something the UI needs, let's let the UI handle
sure.
that piece. So what I'm going to do there is we're going to just write a real simple partial class. So I'm going to right-click on my Silverlight viewer, and from here we'll go in and say add class, and we're going to call this customer.cs.
So we're on the client side, we're creating a new customer class, and we're going to add property to customers. Now we already have a customer class, Dan. How are you going to do this?
That's a great question. You'd almost think you've, you know, seen the demo before.
You'd think.
We're going to make it a partial. So when your proxy gets generated, and let's just, it's worthwhile to see that, I think. So we're going to come into here. I'm going to click on the little show all files icon at the top.
Okay.
We'll drill down just really quick into reference.cs. This namespace, which I'm actually going to copy while we're at it, is going to be needed. And you'll notice that here's our customer, but it's marked as partial. So what I want to do is, I can't go into here and change it, because if I do, that could be overwritten.
Right. This code is all generated by Dan Wallin, so.
Yeah, pretty much. And we don't want to mess with it, because right. as soon as I right-click on this guy and say update service reference, it would wipe it out.
Exactly.
So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of staple on a new property using partial classes. So I'm going to first off change the namespace. It needs to match with that one. So we'll go ahead and paste that in. And I don't know why I'm right-clicking. There we go. Feel much better.
No, you pasted it in the middle there.
Yes, I did. Thank you. All right. Minor detail. So we'll go ahead and get the namespace in. Now that namespace, we're going to try again. Because I didn't do it right. There we go.
The next lab's all about copy and paste.
Yes. Control C, Control V, in case you didn't know. Yeah. So we know that other class was a partial class. So we're going to come in and say partial class customer. That'll make it so the compiler can kind of merge those together. And then we're just going to do a real simple property, which is a string called full name. And we'll do a simple get block.
In this case, we just need the getter. We don't need the setter because we're just going to be displaying the data.
Thanks, yep. Right on.
Right on.
Right on target. All right. So there we go. That's a really simple customization that we're doing now in the Silverlight side, as you said, to our customer class here. And now we can, in just a sec, we're going to bind that to our combo box.
Okay.
And work with it. So, all right, now I'm a big believer in build often, so we're going to build that project. Just make sure we don't have any typos. It's always fun to get to the end and find out you screwed up in the middle.
It's three succeeded. That
I'm
works.
Happy. We're good. All right, so moving on. So now what I want to do is we have a combo box that we did in the last exercise, and we have some text boxes. Now, the text box bindings, when I made the interface earlier, they're already done. Save some time. But the combo box binding, let's go in and go to properties and look at a couple things. So you'll notice there's an item source. We're going to bind to that, but we're going to use code in this case. And then if we scroll up, notice there's a display member path, which is already set to, oddly enough, full name, which we just made. So we're going to go ahead and write some code to call the service and then bind that to the items source.
Yeah, the display member path has to match a property on the object that you're binding to.
Exactly. And that's why we added it. I could have only bound a first name or last name otherwise, or right. you know, middle name would have been really useful, like J, P, Q
sure.
in the dropdown. But so let's go ahead and do that. So now that we have the proxy, we'll come into our mainpage.xaml. And we could write some code right here to call the service and actually update it. Generally, after initialized component, you're relatively safe. But we have a nice event called loaded. So ASP.NET developers are used to page load. This would be analogous to page load.
Right.
So we'll do the plus equals tab tab thing.
And the loaded thing, basically, the event says, okay, everything on the screen's been loaded. All the loaded means all the basically visual elements are loaded and ready to go.
Exactly. So you're safe to interact. That's yep. my way of thinking of it. All right. So we'll go ahead in here now, and let's go ahead and create a new proxy object. And this is going to be something like a customer service client or customers. I never remember, but yep, that works. We're going to resolve the namespace there real quick. So that just added that long guy you saw earlier.
And that's our proxy object that we can use to communicate with the WCS service in
this
case.
This is it. And now what we want to do is we want to call the get customers, which is in the server side, in the service operation. And we want to go ahead and call that and bind it to the combo box. So normally, in ASP.NET, if you're using it on the server side, not jQuery, but just regular C# or VB or whatever your language is, you would just call get customers. But as I showed earlier in the wizard, everything is asynchronous in Silverlight, and that's because we don't want to lock up the browser.
Right.
So, and jQuery is asynchronous as well. So we'll come in and we'll say proxy.getCustomers. We don't want to call async quite yet, because how do we know when it's done?
Right, otherwise it would go off, it would call the server, get the customers, and return it back to nothing. We have no way to get back the data.
Wouldn't have any way to get back the data. So we're going to wire up the get customer completed. So something's been around for a while.
You want to get customers completed, I think.
I'm pretty good at leaving off S's, thank you. So we'll do plus equals, tab, tab, and... All right, there we go. So now we have a way to say, hey, when this call that we're going to make returns, call here, process the data.
Yep.
We'll come down to that in just a sec. Now we're officially going to call the service. We're going to say get customers. Make sure I do it right, John.
Yep, there goes your plural.
All right, we're
so
good.
So first we set up the completed, then we do the async call so that when it's done. And if you reverse these, you're in trouble, right?
Timing-wise, you could be. Technically, I suppose not, but this is best practice.
Yes.
We'll put it that way. Okay, so now that we have our data coming back, you'll notice that we have a get customers completed event args here. I like to just call it E for short. But you know, if you like to talk a lot, that's a long, nice one for you. So we're going to come in. We're going to use that E to get to the result.
Okay.
So we're going to say customers combo box dot. We're going to come into the item source I showed earlier. We'll say E dot result.
And that's strongly typed already, so it's already a list of, observable collection in this case.
There you go. Yep. It was a list on the server, but the proxy makes it an observable collection, which you can change in that wizard.
Right.
But we like it, so.
So now we've got the data, it's bound, and we're all done, and the video's over?
Close. Update and delete. I know you want to get out of here and all, but yeah.
But it is, again, you've been pointing out here the item source. It's going to have a list of customers, but the display, what's the name of the property?
Full name.
Thank you. The full name's going to be up there, and because we
let's actually try it. I think we should. So let's run it as it is. So let's build everything. Okay, we're good there. Okay, so here's our test pages when we picked that project.
Right.
Here's the zap, and if you're brand new to Silverlight, the zap file simply is the compiled DLLs from the Silverlight project. It puts it into the web project in this folder called client bin. That's then embedded in either an ASP.NET page or an HTML page using an object tag. So if you're a web developer, you're pretty accustomed to something like this, depending on what technology you want to use. But you can see the zap file is referenced as the source right there. All right, so we're going to go ahead and click on that, give it a shot, and we'll hopefully get some customers, but there is a little minor change we're probably going to need to make, but we'll go ahead and run it anyway. Ah, we get an error.
Yep.
Okay, it says application exception occurred during the operation, making the result invalid. I've generally found that errors do make your results invalid, but we're going to go ahead and fix this. So what's going on?
Only on days that end in Y.
True. So what's going on here is, number one, we're not happy.
Nope.
We have no customers. So what we need to do is figure out why. Now, my favorite tool usually to figure this out is Fiddler, and I'm not going to pull it up here, but we could certainly figure it out, but I'm just going to tell you why. If we go back up to the service, it's in its own project.
Now, you can make $1 million off a tool if you could just have a tool that says, just tell me why it's wrong.
Easy button tool.
The easy button. Let's do that.
If I run this service and do view and browser, you're going to notice the port up here is 37989, which is kind of irrelevant. The point is 37989. If I run the Silverlight app again, the web page for it, I should say, you're going to see the port is different. We're going to get that error again, 63358.
Which is really two different domains completely.
Two different domains. So it'd be very similar to, we have danwallin.com calling johnpapa.net, and it you can't do that out of the box because Silverlight runs in a sandbox. It's very secure by default.
You wouldn't want it to do that either.
No.
for
no,
example.
No, in fact, if you're the person that owns the service, you may not want all these anonymous clients calling you. So what we do there is Microsoft made a cross-domain kind of limitation, and that's why it's failing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in the lab exercise, you'll go in and you'll come up to your service, and there's an exclude file here. And you'll go into the exclude file and just simply rename it to a XML file. So we'll come in and do that real quick.
So it looks for this file called clientaccesspolicy.xml to be in the web site root.
That's correct. If you don't have that in the web site root, no can do. Mm-hmm. You saw what happens. It's not pretty.
And now, because you named it properly, it's going to say anybody coming from any place with any header can access any path or any subpath on my
server. Yes. This one is a very loosely...
You're very generous.
I'm very generous, yes. I was in a generous mode this day. So
we can obviously limit this down.
Yeah, you can limit it by URI, by request headers. You can even say a specific subfolder.
Mm-hmm.
You want it where your service lives. Like if this was in a subfolder called services, I would say /services.
Right.
So, but we're going to go ahead and leave it for this particular demo. I don't know how that guy got in there, but we're going to take it out. And... now, when we call it, because Silverlight now calls out first and checks for this file, it should find it. Now it says, okay, you're good. You can call it. Otherwise, it shuts you down. So let's go ahead and try it again.
So Silverlight comes up. You're making a web service call to another domain. And the first thing it does before it even calls that server, that other service in another domain, says, hey, check to see if the client access policy to XML exists.
That's right.
And if it does, then it looks to see if you have permissions that are in there.
That's right. And that's a good thing to know, especially if you're moving from ASP.NET, where you're kind of used to calling anything from the server side.
Right.
jQuery, yeah, you still have limitations on domains. You can, depending mm-hmm. on the type of call. But now we'll hopefully see some customers. Beautiful. And notice as I select a different customer, we get different records showing up.
Great.
But... Nada.
No click handlers.
No click handlers.
Or empty click handlers,
yeah,
I should say.
We don't have anything. So the last thing we're going to do is wrap that up. Now, I might point out here, you'll notice this is the browser. This is IE9, and so it's a very kind of sleek, doesn't take up a lot of interface space,
mm-hmm.
But it is the browser. So we'll go ahead and close that. All right, now in the update button, there's a little bit of code we're going to write here to call the service and to delete. And so I'm just going to run off to the toolbox, and we'll go ahead and drag that in.
I wish my toolbox had code like that.
I know, I'm waiting for, why don't you guys invent that?
Right after the easy button.
Right after the easy button. Read my mind button. Build my app button. So you'll notice that in the update and the delete, it's going to be very similar code. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to call, we're going to create an instance of the proxy.
Right.
Keep in mind, you could certainly reuse this proxy. There are no postbacks in Silverlight. Therefore, we could define the proxy as a class-level variable and reuse it. The only challenge there is if it ever faults, if there was an error, you'd have to recreate it to kind of
right, so that state is maintained. If it's a field-level or class-level variable, that state is maintained, unlike with ASP.NET with a postback.
Right, no postbacks at all. It's much more analogous to what you do with JavaScript and Ajax or jQuery, like
sure.
in this example. So what we're going to do, though, is we're going to go to our combo box, and when an item is selected, we're going to cast that to the type that was bound. And if you recall, we got observable collection of customer.
Right.
So we're going to say, hey, go get the selected item and cast it. Now, that's quite a bit different than what most ASP.NET people are used to. Usually we have the selected value and the selected text.
Right.
Well, in Silverlight, there is no selected value per se.
We get the whole item in this case.
Right. I mean, there is a thing you can do with binding on a combo box now in Silverlight 4, but we actually get the object, exactly. So we're going to grab that and cast it. This is generated, I mentioned earlier that in our entity model, I use self-tracking entities. And this is just a cool feature that adds in some change tracking. So we're going to
every entity gets that change tracker.state property then, right?
Exactly. So we're just going to leverage it and just say, hey, before I pass it to the service, I want the service to know this is an update.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you why in just a sec. Here's our callback. We do use a lambda in this case. And so I'm going to undo that. Too much drag in there. So basically what's going to happen is when this is completed, like we showed right here, we actually sent it to a different method. But in this case, we're going to come in and actually do it inline. So there's our kind of inline lambda.
Right.
Big fan of that. And then from here, we're just going to grab the result. The result is an object called an operation status object, which is back up in our model. It's just a simple POCO, plain old CLR object. Very simple properties. You can see right here that tracks the status, which is what we're going
to check. And you created this class for your own way to communicate from the server to the client to give it information about what happened.
Exactly. Didn't want to do just true or false, because then if it's false, you know, you're like, well, what? Why
and
is it
And you don't
false?
Necessarily need this. You could do a save operation with a as a type void.
Yep.
And unless you could check the result to see if there's an error in it or not.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're after here. We're just going to check and get the object, and then we're going to check that status property,
sure.
And then just show a message box. Okay, once that's all hooked up, we're going to call save customer async, pretty much like we showed before. Now, the delete is actually identical. We're going to grab the customer, mark it as a deleted object, though.
Okay, so not modified, but deleted.
Right. Same wire up, so I think we could probably refactor this a little bit if we wanted, and maybe reuse some code from the above one. But from there, down here, we're going to, out of the collection in the combo box, we're going to delete the item, assuming it worked. So if the status is true, we're going to come in and remove that particular customer.
So you're going to the combo box's item source, casting it to a type of observable collection customers, and then doing a remove.
Exactly. So doing a kind of an inline cast.
You could have
done
a couple lines of code if you want to break it out.
If you wanted to break it out.
Sure.
Yep. And then we, you know, do a message box, and officially once that's wired up, we come in and we make the asynchronous call. And that's kind of how that piece works. So let's go ahead and build. And you'll notice when we do click on these buttons here, again, there's no postbacks in Silverlight. That took me a while to get used to, because we're so, if you're an ASP.NET developer, you know, if you're not using jQuery or some AJAX-enabled framework, you're used to postbacks, and it doesn't happen in Silverlight.
Okay, so we built. It worked out okay. Now we're going to run it.
Review it,
I should say.
We're going to try to see if we get some data. We do. Let's go ahead and just put a 2 on the end of that guy. Or lady, I should say. Hit update. There we go. And did it work, though? It's hard to tell, because it doesn't post back.
That's right. It's no post back. But if we refresh,
let's reload it.
We should see Catherine able to.
There we go. Okay, or we could come in and, you know, pick something way down here. Michael Bullion is no longer a customer with us. Hit delete. Customer's now deleted. It now cleared it out. And, of course, you would probably want to pop up maybe a confirm dialog like that. But
and you want error handling and other things, too.
All that good stuff. All that good stuff.
This shows a really nice way you can move from web world to doing Silverlight applications pretty easily. A lot of the concepts are similar.
They are.
Very, very similar. The asynchronicity that we have in here as well. Good stuff.
So, yeah, so really we're doing the same thing as jQuery was doing. In a way, we're kind of doing our own C# version of AJAX, no postback. But I think if you're, especially if you're a web developer now that already is doing some pretty heavy AJAX-enabled apps, for me, because I do both, I like, you know, both frameworks, but what really stands out for me is, number one, I was able to write C# code to do all this, and it's just a little bit easier that
There's
way.
There's no JScript in this whatsoever.
No JScript at all. No, nothing at all. Plus, you get that compile time checking, so you know what's going on there. So that's an example of what the app looks like and how to convert it over from ASP.NET, you know, jQuery.
Right, and it's not one better than the other in any way, shape, or form. It's just different ways of doing the same kind of thing with two different technologies, depending upon what your needs are for the project.
Exactly.
So great. Hey, thanks, Dan, and thank you all for watching. We had exercise 1, 2, and 3 again, where we're converting from ASP.NET to Silverlight. First, we looked at the project and what we were going to reuse, a lot of reusable code, especially the server side. And then we looked at how we get the UI from one place to the other and some of the similarities and differences. And we also talked about how you actually wire up the code. And there's a lot of controls that are different between ASP.NET and Silverlight. Some things, like you'll see in ASP.NET, you use a lot of data grids. In Silverlight, we use more of a list box type approach to things. But they're all there, so there's nothing you're going to lose going from one to the other or from Silverlight back to ASP.NET.
That's right.
Thank you all, and we'll see you in Module 3.